Second Corinthians is the scripture passage I want you to turn with me to today. Second Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and beginning to read in the 12th verse. The message this morning is not lengthy, as you observe the other parts of the service are somewhat more lengthy today. But what I have to say to you this morning, I believe, will be helpful to you. It'll be helpful to all of us as we try to do God's work together here at Water of Life. And if you will listen carefully, you will get some insight as to the decision which awaits us in the weeks ahead, particularly not this coming week, but the following week, as we think about the kind of commitment that we're going to make to the Lord, specifically with regard to our finances and our abilities and so on. Reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, beginning in the 12th verse. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, what God's concerned about, as Brother Charles was sharing earlier, was our attitude and the willingness of our heart, and not necessarily the amount of the commitment. For I mean, watch these next three verses now, because they are particularly illuminating, I think. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. God's standard of stewardship is equality, fairness. The word equality, as it's used in this context, means likeness in condition or proportion, not necessarily likeness in amount. I believe today, and have always believed since we've been a church, that all of the needs of this local congregation will be met if everyone practices good stewardship. Because I believe that there's sufficient that God has distributed among the congregation, that if we will all be good stewards of what God has given us, that all of our needs will be met. In the 15th verse, Paul harkens back to the story from the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, where God poured out the manna. And every day there was manna on the ground, and there was sufficient for everyone. And they were told to go out and gather as much as they needed. The man that had a large family, he gathered an omer for every man within the family. And the man that had a smaller family, he gathered a smaller amount, an omer for every man in his family. And so those that gathered much had nothing left over. In other words, there was sufficient available for them to supply their family. Those that gathered a little bit had no lack. There was sufficient for them, no excess and no lack. God has provided, I'm confident, that God has provided sufficient for our work together, that there is equality in our receiving from the Lord, that He has distributed to each one of us, according, we found out last week, to our ability, and He has provided sufficient for us, that if we will practice good stewardship with it, that there will be adequate to do the work that needs to be done here at Water of Life in 1987. We have equality in our receiving from God, fairness and likeness in condition and proportion. Giving is also the same way, and this is what I want us to see this morning. I had not seen this until just recently, but the Lord kept bringing back this 14th verse to my remembrance. He says that in the 12th verse, according to what is available, we give. One year, one may have much and give much. The next year, he may have little and give little. As long as he has a willing heart, it is acceptable to God according to what he has. If it's much, it's acceptable if he gives much. If it's little, it's acceptable if he gives little. Another family, when that family has little, another family in the congregation will have the much. For verse 14 says that, by an equality that at this time your abundance makes up a supply for their want. The makes up a supply is added there by the translators. In other words, makes up what those that have little lack. So that later on when you have little, God will supply abundance to someone else, so their abundance will make up your little. Do you understand the principle that's involved? And so last year, one family might have had much and gave much. Next year, they have little, and they're going to give little. Someone else, another family, will have the much and will have to move in to give out of his abundance. Why? So that there may be inequality. So that when those who are walking in great abundance are good stewards of their abundance, it makes up the lack for those who are walking in little, who can only be stewards of their little. And that situation may change from year to year. God uses one family last year in a major way. He uses another family next year in a major way. Why? So that there may be equality. Equal opportunity to give and equal opportunity to receive blessing. Let me tell you why this is particularly meaningful to me at this time. As I'm going to take your scripture, Charles, and boast in the Lord, make my boast in the Lord, so that the humble will hear it and be glad. In the last several years, well, for the last number of years, the Lord has enabled my wife and I to give abundantly. We have been blessed abundantly. We've gathered lots of manna, and we've had lots of it to give. In the last year, Lois and I were able to give into this ministry over $25,000 that came in out of regular income. In prior years, we have given in $25,000 to $30,000 year in and year out since, a good number of years. This past year, however, I took a $50,000 reduction in my income. And this year, Lois and I are only going to be able to give about $6,000 instead of $25,000 or $30,000. Now, there are some others in the congregation I know that are in the same situation. The thing that disturbs me the most about my income reduction is not the change in my standard of living. It disturbs me that I don't have the much to give anymore, like I used to have the much to give. I don't like giving less than the much. I know others in the congregation who, for one reason or another, have taken different jobs, started businesses, and so on, and now working. I know one family in our congregation who has been a very large giver, has left the job, formed his own company, and hasn't had any income in 4 months. Nothing. Now, that family is operating on little and will not be able to give the much until the much comes. It is acceptable according to that which a man hath, not according to that which he hath not. Now, if I understand this scripture correctly, this scripture tells me that if I have a want in my life, and there are others in the congregation who have been in abundance for a number of years and are now in a want situation, that there are others in this congregation who are moving into the abundance. Are you listening? Why? Because God's plan is that there should be equality. That when one family has the abundance, they give it. When another family has the abundance, they give it. And we all give according to the blessing of the Lord. Now, Lois and I had been given about anywhere from $450 to $550 a week. Now we're not able to give but a little over $100 a week. That's a major swing, because that's what we have. But there's one or more other families in this congregation who are able to give at an increased level substantially. You say, Pastor, there isn't anybody in this congregation that could give $500 a week. I don't know whether there is or not. I never thought I could. I want to quote the verse again. I'm making my boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and be glad. There may be some others that will hear it and say, I don't like the way the pastor is bragging about his giving. If you think I'm bragging about my giving, you don't know me. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to teach you something this morning. Now, maybe there isn't anyone. That means our congregation is short about $450 a week from one family. And maybe there's not one member in the congregation who can make that up, but maybe there are 10 who could give 45 more. Now, I don't want you to get the thought, to get the idea that I'm saying everybody ought to give in order to make up that deficit. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, if 2 Corinthians 8:14 is right, then that means that there are some people in this congregation who have increased in their blessing to the degree that if they will practice good stewardship, they will make up the want that is in the lives of those who don't have the abundance that they once had. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you today? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, Paul says, he ministers seed to the sower. God gives seed to the sower. What does that mean? That means he gives us something which we can plant in the kingdom of God. He gives financial seed to us so that we may sow it in the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says that God gives us the power to gain wealth. The question I want you to ask yourself this year is, has God given you more seed? Did God increase your seed? And by practicing good stewardship with your increased seed, can you give $100 a week, $200 a week, $500 a week? Pastor, you're blowing me away. Lois and I started making a commitment to God at $20 a week. And the Lord blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us to the point where we were able to give $550 a week. If you want to know what joy is, it is writing a check that size and giving it to Jesus week after week after week and year after year after year. And it's to his glory and honor that we had those funds available and we lacked for nothing. We're able to give it. And if we had it, we'd give it again. Would we? If our situation changed tomorrow, we'd give it again immediately. We want to very, very much. Others have done this, you see, in previous years. And would do it again if they had it to give. But if they don't have it to give, then it's accepted before God according to what they have. The question we must ask those who are being increased, blessed by the Lord in financial realm, are we going to sow the extra seed that God has given us? Or are we going to eat it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the scripture says, God is able to make all grace abound towards us. That tells me that we have sufficiency in all things so that we can abound to every good work that God has given us to do. The grace is just in different pockets this year. I'm going to say it again. We are abounding in all grace and we have all sufficiency, but the grace is in different pockets this year than in past years. I wonder, I don't know this, but you'll notice on the back of our bulletin, we're running about $28,000 behind this year. What we estimated was going to come in. I wonder if the reason we're behind is because some of those who have been increasing are not yet sowing in abundance. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. But I wonder if that could be the case. Now, let me say again, my object today in bringing this scripture to you is not to squeeze you, but to teach you and instruct you. On the back of your bulletin, if you will turn over the back of your bulletin and read off the back of it these words. Read with me aloud, please. And this is the spirit which I want you to get this morning. I'm trying to illuminate you, not squeeze you. If you feel squeezed this morning, let me say this to you. If you feel squeezed this morning, it is not me who's squeezing you. It is the Spirit of God. Because there's no squeeze in me. It's not coming from me. And if you're feeling it, then it's the Spirit of the Lord that is doing that, because I do not have that in my spirit at all. And we will function with whatever we have come in. Whatever you decide to commit, that's what we'll use this next year to do God's work. But we all need to ask ourselves, is God giving us more seed? If so, what's he going to do? Or what are we going to do with it? Are we going to eat it? Or are we going to increase what we are planting in the kingdom of God? This is really good for you. If I have less next year and you have more. How many of you know that I am so blessed? How many of you have observed that and would like some of it? Well, you can. You can, but this is part of me. This is part of me to give in a substantial way. And it will come again because I'm going to believe it in. But I can't give what I don't have. If I had it, it would go to the kingdom. But if I don't have it, I can't give it. Now, I'll believe it until it comes again. But until it does, it's just not there. And I want you to be the same way. But if you do have it, and if God has multiplied your seed and you're in abundance, then sow in abundance. For the kinds of blessings that God has shown me in my life can be yours as well. And if it does nothing but accomplish that, I will be deeply rejoiced over that. Let's read aloud, please, back of the bulletin. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, what I'm describing to you is the New Testament way. If you have your Bibles open and you're following with me, turn with me, please, to the second chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to give you two references from the book of Acts. I want to show you that the New Testament church that operated in power and great might and demonstration of the Spirit of God was a church that was operating in this equality mode in terms of those that had the abundance supplied the lack of those that had little. And then subsequently, those that had little who were raised to abundance, then they supplied the ones that had had the lack. And so there was a quality in the body. People cared about each other, and people cared about God's work. And those that had the abundance carried the larger share of the work. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's God's equality is proportion, fairness in proportion. So from Acts 2, this is the early church, and this is some of the early occurrences in the church. This is how they worked. Verse 44. Acts 2:44. And all that believed were together. That's a good way for believers to be together. And had all things common. In other words, what's yours is mine, what's mine is yours, and what is ours together. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Those that had abundance used their abundance to provide for those that had lacked, so that those that had gathered much had nothing over, and those that had gathered little had no lack. Now turn over to the fourth chapter, and we see this idea continuing here. Verse number 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So those that had the houses saw those that had the need and did what? Converted them to cash and used it to meet the needs of those that had little. So those that had abundance shared their abundance with those that had little, knowing full well that next week if they had little, those that had the abundance would, in the same way, share with them. Now notice that this was not done by constraint. This was not done because someone forced them to do it. It was their desire in grateful thankfulness for what God had done for them. They took their abundance and shared it with those that were a part of the kingdom of God. But I want you to note that Ananias and Sapphira missed the wagon in this whole business here. If you'll read the fifth chapter, you will find that Ananias and Sapphira felt compelled to put up a front. And they felt pressured to give. And they couldn't do it cheerfully, but rather they gave it grudgingly. And so they lied to the Holy Ghost. And you know what it cost them? It cost them their lives. This kind of stewardship, beloved, comes from the heart. It can be taught, but it cannot be ginned up by someone from the outside. God's Spirit has got to stir that from the heart of us within. When you make your decision this year, I want you to be thinking along these lines. Has God increased me? Has God increased my seed? If he has given me substantially more seed, what do I think he wants me to do with it? Does he want me to increase my sowing? When you determine the commitment that you're going to make to the Lord next year, consider carefully why God has provided abundance in your life. Let's have prayer.